We are watchmen, warriors, victors. Together, we will fight the good fight and finish strong. This is David Hebner Live.
Yeah, so people ask me, go, David, why do you wear black? Is everything black? Even my coffee cup's black. Well, here it is right here. Black represents the darkness, the deep state that I battle on behalf of my Father and my Savior, Jesus Christ. The underbelly of this deep state, but it's not apolitical. It's not Republican, Democrat. This goes much, much deeper, folks. This is what we're going to uncover and discover tonight. But one of the deepest, darkest battles is the war on our children. Now, you know this. I've been on this bandwagon for years. Because it's the very heart of God's creation. These little innocent minds, I mean, they're under assault. But what, we stand idly by? And everything gets normalized, from pedophilia to pornography to... you name it. We're going to unpack this. And I'm so excited tonight to have my guest and my good friend, Joe Horn, on. And he's pulling back the curtain on this darkness. Because we need to do this as God's children. I don't want to see any preacher in the pulpit preaching anymore unless there's a segment about saving our children. And that's what Joe is doing with his new book, War on Children, Innocence Shattered, dismantling what's really going on. I'm going to bring on Joe Horn, my guest. Joe, how are you, brother?
David, what an opener. And of course, in your introduction, I see you with some of the greatest warriors I've ever known. Russ Dizdar, come on.
I know, man.
Right? You've met a lot of people. My father was a dear friend of yours. We've loved you for years, David. So thank you for having me on today and being brave enough to host this conversation.
Thank you for coming on. I'm going to talk about your father in just a moment, but I want to dive right into this.
Okay.
So Joe, here's my first thing is I want to start at the very top. And what seems no one is asking about, though it happens every day, there's over 8 million children reported missing globally. 8 million, Joe. And only about 60 to 70% are recovered. But not all that are recovered are actually in tip-top shape, meaning that there's so much pain and wounds inflicted and even death that I want to ask you, and I want to start by asking you, where are our children that go missing? It's like socks in a dryer. You ever put your socks in a dryer?
Yeah.
And you
yeah. come
it, where are we at with this?
It's a disaster, and it's much larger than most people understand it to be. And of course, if you want to unpack details, we can get into how the church is completely failing to respond to this. But, and I don't know where you want to start, because when you start with where do these children go, there's a multi-tentacled explanation to that. And depending on what state you're in, there are different answers that tend to disagree with other states. Some states have better policies, better law enforcement. Some states, I believe, are malevolently aiding and abetting children that come up missing. So it's massive.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start with the why? Why do you think it's happening? What's the number one reason?
It's what you said in your opener. I mean, at the end of the day, and I say this when I travel all across the country and I present on this all across the country, what you said a minute ago, at the end of the day, I believe is the prevailing truth. And then we can unpack many of the ways that this comes by way of. But it is that Lucifer has waged an all-out war on an entire generation of children because I believe he takes the greatest delight. It's the biggest offense to God the Creator when you snuff out a life before it even begins.
Yeah.
Whether it be in the womb or whether it be a child, the wails of terror, the screams that are exhaled by the innocent, it is the biggest proverbial Luciferian middle finger to God the Creator, and Lucifer knows that his time is short.
Absolutely. Joe, you know, each and every one of us, I think you'll agree, we were born with an assignment. Even before we were born in the womb, God gave us an assignment. In other words, we have a purpose for being here. Satan knows that. Do you believe that's a big factor? And he knows the children who are the future, if the Lord didn't come back, they have an assignment, and their assignment is to expose him, so take him out. So give me a child, Satan says. Give me a child. They're vulnerable. They're easy. Do you agree with any of that?
Oh, I absolutely do. A life snuffed out before it begins. I feel like it's the grandest prize for Lucifer. It's like his version of holding a trophy up at God, is to say, you gave this young person life, but look what I did to stand in the way of your plans for him. And then, of course, you can get into arguments like predestination. You can get into the will of God and freedom of choice. It is a massive, multi-tentacled. We have a country that has attempted to, via cartoons, major corporations that are creating a lot of the entertainment that our children are interacting with. We have AI companion programs now that kids are playing with on their mobile phones and iPads that are there to be a replacement for the nuclear family. We don't need a mother, father, sister, brother. You have AI companions that are infinitely smarter. A lot of these programs, I believe, are malevolent and are already coaching young people into things like suicide under the pretense of providing good, sound advice for the direction of your life. We have the normalization, as you mentioned in your open, of pedophilia through the classroom, what kids are learning at school, culture. This is the biggest money on earth. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest money on earth. And that's why I say it's a multi-tentacled attack. It's coming by way school. It's coming by way of the entertainment, our digital social media, our devices. Lots of kids today are being raised by screens. Their parents aren't active in their life. I saw a meme this morning that I had no intention of talking about, but when I saw it, I said, yep, no, that's the difference. It was a picture of a father on a couch, tired and drizzled, holding a remote with kids on the floor. And it said, kids will follow this. And then it shows a picture interacting with his kids and doing workouts and push-ups and playing chase games and teaching. And it says, kids will remember this. And so you can look at the United States right now, or Western culture in general, and you can say, okay, children today, for the most part, the nuclear family has eroded greatly. And you can look at an entire generation of young people that are being raised by all of this apparatus. And there's no question why they have no sense of value towards life, or a developed sense of care for humanity, or a moral construct. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm going to interrupt you, but something.
No, go ahead.
I got to latch on to, you know, the AI, which, by the way, Joe, has been around for years. We've been using AI in the film industry for probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And so this deception of all of a sudden it's rolling out and blah, blah. No. This thing's been around for a long time, and the devil's been using it for a long time. Now, here's the thing with AI. There is a misconception. Mm-hmm. And this is my concern. I want to get your take on this, that when with AI, things are created in the universe of fake intelligence. It's not real. OK,
yeah.
Now, there's this misconception that when you're watching something that's not real, it's OK to watch it because it's not real. So therefore, if you've got pornography, which I think pornography is, AI is going to go into, it already has gone into pornography, it's going to go big time. People are going to watch this thinking, you know what, it's okay to watch it. It's not really real what I'm watching. And children are going to pick up on this. They've been conditioned already with the video games and right. All of these other things. And we're going to get sucked into it as a society where it's going to be the norm to get up and watch Saturday morning cartoons with a little pornography mixed in. What say you?
I say that I've already outlined the framework for that, and it's pretty irrefutable in the book Innocence Shattered. There's a whole series of chapters dedicated to making that case. What you're talking about how AI is already, yes, thank you for bringing that up. AI is already conditioning children. Okay, how do you have an entire group of young people live at an event 3 weeks ago where Charlie Kirk is shot through the neck, and there's this group of young people in real time celebrating what should be absolutely nothing, regardless of your worldview, nothing less than totally traumatizing. The kind of an event that you wake up for the next 7 years in therapy in the middle of the night with night terrors, sweating through your sheets, like to have seen someone murdered like that.
Right.
But to be so conditioned before it happens, to see it as almost normal or even deserved, and to feel nothing, no empathy, no sympathy, no.
They've been conditioned. Joe, look at this. Look at this. We've got on the left side, we've got the killer, the shooter. I've been covering this for 2 weeks now. I believe he was programmed, but I believe he was desensitized. Here's Charlie Kirk. You can see the difference in. I totally 100% agree with you. I want to go a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
The killing of the unborn children. See, Satan requires blood. He wants the blood of the saints. So you've got the killing of unborn children. Do you believe that Charlie Cook, the shooting in the neck by the shooter, who I believe is a program multiple, do you believe this was more than a killing? It could be a sacrifice, something that because of he's desensitized, the programming that Satan requires the blood. Notice he was shot in the neck, which is the center of the vocal cords, verbalized.
I have talked with two people that I respect very much who have vast credentials in the military, two, about that very thing. Was this a perfectly executed shot by someone paid by the deep state to remove somebody they feared might run for president, should the Lord tarry? Right. Both of them came back with kind of the same assessment, that they did believe, based on what we're being told, that the actual shooter really and truly was this young man. Yeah. So I would defer to the experts that I know and just accept at face value that what we're being told, that it is likely this young man. That's my position today. Now, if we learn more, I'm also open to the fact that we are never being told the truth about what much of what we see is. In terms of how Satan, though, might celebrate that death as a victory, regardless of what was going through the mind of the young man, presuming he's the shooter, is, I believe, very similar to the kind of trophy that he flaunts at God every time, you know, a life of innocence is taken before it has a chance to begin.
Yeah.
So whether he personally took it as a celebration or a victory, what we're seeing in the news, David, you know this, maybe fractions or anecdotal bits or parts of what people have overheard, who in the world really and truly knows? Do you trust what we're getting from the FBI? Do you trust what we're being told?
Well, of course not, because I'm in media, Joe. I know I've been in it making
you know money. Too much to trust.
I watch this stuff. And by the way, the new soap opera in town, the new TV series, isn't television anymore. It's the news. It's these clowns on both sides. And when I say both sides, again, I'm not going political. I'm going the good, the bad, and the ugly is where I'm going with this. No, I don't believe. First of all, most of them are deceived. See, it's through programming of deception. Okay. Many are the deceivers, but many also are deceived. And so that's why I'm bringing a lot of this stuff up. And I know it's in your book. By the way, when did the book come out? How long ago?
So the book actually comes out in November.
Okay.
It actually comes out in November. And one of the things, if people care about children, if they're listening to this broadcast and they want to know where to start, how do they stand in the gap for these children? By the way, there's a typo on my graphic that we caught yesterday, and that's being amended, but you don't have to, should only have one O at the end. If people want to get engaged, I highly recommend that book. And one of the things I'm trying to do is get Amazon to pick up the book algorithmically to help me elevate that to a national conversation. So every pre-sale between now and November helps drive the algorithms that want to present that book and elevate it to a national conversation.
Okay. But so the best thing they can do is go to Amazon, or where can they go right now to?
Right now, the most helpful place to go, even though I've got my own stores and my own television programs, honestly, the most helpful place, if people want to help raise this to a national conversation, would be Amazon.com. And pre-order before November a copy, or get their friends to order copies of Innocence Shattered. But for people still wondering, like, okay, they've kind of talked about Charlie Kirk. They've kind of talked about a Luciferian war on children. They touched on AI. Let's bring this into kind of a coherent focus for a minute. Because this is what Innocence Shattered is. It's actually the book version of a six-part television series that we produced and put out last December called Rescue Us, where we basically present kind of the long version of how Lucifer is using all of these multi-apparati to seduce, destroy, dismantle, and then turn up missing an entire generation of children that the church and most of Western civilization is completely ignoring. To me, this is the elephant in the room. You said something early, David. If you want to know what tomorrow's world looks like, start with your children. Because they're the ones taking over the steering wheel when the older folks like you and I eventually cash out, or God punches our clock and takes us home. And right now, we are completely failing. You do see, and I want to give props to some of the cultural revolution that's going on. I think you have this quick sweeping now, this underbelly of good that's trying to push back on some of the lunacy. Mm-hmm. That for 30 plus years was trying to take over Western culture. One of the fallacies in that, though, is to call political movements a revival. I think a revival can be a side effect of a spiritual awakening. But if we start building straw men out of our politicians, if we start looking for a political messiah to come and fix all of our immorality through the pulling of voting levers, there's a couple of very dangerous things that can happen. One, you have a slippery slope towards dominionism, the idea that you can legislate morality. David, I can make you more sympathetic to those without healthcare. I can force you by law to care more about this or that. It's a very dangerous slippery slope because, as you and I both, I think, agree, whenever you give that kind of power to a government, sure, you might have a benevolent leader this go around. But you know how fast the landscape with leadership can change. And now you've handed the same executive power to the next guy. And maybe he's got a malevolent agenda. So I don't think, when you see very encouraging signs in culture, like some of the ones that we're seeing post the Charlie Kirk assassination, I do believe some of that is revival. I absolutely believe that some of that is revival.
Yeah,
100%. People are going to church. But like 9/11, how long will it last? That's why I want to see a spiritual awakening that lasts.
Mm-hmm.
I want Charlie Kirk's life and the message that he leaves behind to last for generations. And the only way that that happens is if people get beyond their temporal emotional titillation and they start the heavy work of permanent engagement, saying, David, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But God has asked me to give him my yes, and I'm going to put my shoulder to the plow regardless of how I feel next week, regardless of what. Is this making sense?
No, absolutely it is, Joe. I believe the difference between 9/11 and the slaughter of sacrifice of Charlie Kirk is that people were focused on the devastation of 9/11, and it hurt them. It's what was in it for them. To heal their insides. This was a turning point of a man. Young people saw a man that got taken out viciously. And not only did the young people come to the altar first, but then people like me and you, like me, I didn't follow Charlie Kirk that much, but he's bigger now than he's ever been.
Yeah.
I talk about him now. I never talked about him before. So this is a turning point. This is a movement, I believe. Like, in other words, I'm believing this is actually going to be different. People are actually waking up. Now, let me put a footnote on what you said about politics and so forth. Everything that we see, this is my belief, because I've come from the industry, is because we've been programmed by media. You can look at Trump, you can look at Biden, you can look at all of these figures. You remember, these kids grew up as children watching certain things. Now, I'll give an example. If you look at Trump, President Trump, if I may, and I've never talked about this except with you, he lives in a world, he wants the golden age back. You know, he was raised with Leave It to Beaver. He was raised with clean sitcom type, and he wants to recreate that world. I hope he can. I really do. Now, you've got people on the dark side that who knows what they were watching, but what they were watching reflects where they are right now. A lot of people, some of our politicians that come from other countries, they're not even from here, and they brought that darkness with them over to this country. So what I'm saying is, when we look at politics, these are just victims of brainwashing of media. And it goes right back to what you and I talked about, AI, about how they're sucking the kids in. And so I wanted to bring that up since you mentioned it.
Yeah. Oh, AI. Okay. So for those that are watching the show, so it sounded like you were going to ask a question or say something in addition to what you had said. AI is, and I know that this is going to rattle some cages, especially being son of Tom Horn and the head of Skywatch TV. This is going to probably frustrate some people that want for me to take a hardline stance against all of everything AI, because all of it gives rise to the beast system. And this is what I would say. Right now, the AI that I am seeing is much like the internet or a lot of other things, social security numbers, a lot of things that people have thought were the end of the age and the mark of the beast and the beast system, and we're all going to die. I think much like the internet can be used to take online courses to become a natural doctor of medicine or to become a Bible theologically trained, seminarily trained, divinically trained, you know, advocate for the Bible or major in apologetics. It is also the same playground where, if used improperly, can be a place where, you know, 57% and 64% of youth pastors, 57% of our senior pastors, according to Barna research now, recent Barna research just 4 years ago, that a huge number of our pastors and our leaders in Western civilization admit now to pornography addiction. And you can imagine the portals. You can imagine how this is fueling an appetite that is completely unsatiable, and where the evil parts of giving your flesh over to Lucifer go when there is no godly restraint. And we can talk about that. So it's the same. It's the internet, can be used for good, can be used for evil. And I feel like right now, AI in some ways is not accomplishing a lot of the evil that some believe it is. And in some ways, it is going much worse than what people are aware of. And let me give you a couple examples. There might be people on staff at a church that use AI to create a little banquet graphic for the pie auction over the weekend. Is that malevolent? In my view, Father God, I may be wrong. In my view, I think that's completely innocent. It's benign. It's because the human being is using it at its behest. This is not an autonomous force that is manipulating the pie auction.
Yeah.
Here's where AI can be progressive and very dangerous in, like I mentioned earlier, companion apps, consoling people, people turning to it for companionship, married men downloading AI girlfriend apps because they're bored out of their minds with their spouse. And instead of getting counseling and putting it before the Lord, they've just given up. They're existing under the same roof, but they've developed an AI girlfriend that basically they're working out all their fantasies with. And the reason why is, research and the testimonials of murderers, rapists, sadists, people that have an appetite for torture, the ones that take pleasure in the screams and the sufferings of others, many of these people serving life sentences in prison and will never see the light of day again, would tell you that at some point they developed these things as a result of pornography. And I feel like God wanted me to share as often as possible that I need to specifically tell the ministers that are out there that are hiding this secret that has ravaged Western civilization, especially the 57% of senior pastors and the 64% of youth pastors that admit to at least at some point in their lives, if not currently, being addicted to pornography, that they have utterly failed in their calling to serve Christ, they're looking at some of the benefits that their churches and their organizations are putting forth through the efforts of others, and they're rationalizing how God is still using them. That's one of the biggest Luciferian traps to the whole thing. But the dangerous slippery slope is it will take ministers and turn them into monsters. Now, we can get into what AI is already doing, but I always tread carefully here because I don't like giving people ideas. So I don't know how deep you want me to go down the rabbit hole. Do you want me to spill what I know is already going on with AI and pornography?
Yeah, when we come back, I want you to spill.
Okay.
So what is you? I'm not sure we'll be able to stay on the air after this, and it's okay if they take me down again. I'm not worried about it. And but when we come back, I want to ask Joe about first of all AI. He's going to tell us something that's on his heart. Second of all, human trafficking. And third, what can you and I do about this? In other words, we're hearing this, but what action can we take? We'll be right back.
Christian TV series, The Last Evangelist, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm a special guest star in this, along with a famous actor by the name of Johnny Whitaker, and he plays an archbishop. I could be nominated for an Oscar for this. You could get The Last Evangelist right now. This is different. For a Christian film, it's intense. Well, here's what David Heavener says. Prophecy has now become reality. The Last Evangelist is a cutting-edge, end-time series on how Revelation prophecies are already being fulfilled today. From a demonic government controlled to the mark of the beast, it's a fast-paced criminal investigative show. CSI meets the Book of Revelations. Lisa Haven's in this. There's some other really good actor and actresses in here. David Heavener is a star. David's been in 50 films, 32 of which he's produced. So he's a good director and a great filmmaker. It's top-notch quality. Get your copy tonight.
Paul. I told Paul I'd play in that. Paul, you're a hoot. I did put Paul in it. I like to put in these episodes, I like to put various pastors that actually are on board with the end times. Not many people are, but my good friend Joe Horn is. Joe, brother. All right. So you were mentioning before we took a break on AI, you have something you want to share with us. I think I feel in my spirit it's important for you to share it. Go ahead.
I tread carefully because I don't like giving people ideas. Yeah. I don't want to be the guy that gives somebody out there the cue as to what might be possible should they go online and start digging around for access to some of this. But just as a warning, as a watchman, David, you're a watchman. You're allowing me to say some things on your program.
Right.
Here's what we already know that the AI potential already has. And this is not clever. And then you can look into this and find out there are those already being suspended from various accounts in the United States and overseas, along with law enforcement documentation that some of this has already had to be curtailed. So you can see the black markets. This is hard to find in terms of information because, again, along like with sex trafficking and missing kids from foster care, a lot of these people don't want to tell on themselves. It's very hard to find information. So let me just tell you something that's an irrefutable fact, and then I will let people do their own research. How about that?
Yeah.
It's an irrefutable fact that AI technology already, and this is not clever, anyone knows this, allows for facial swapping. I mean, if you're on social media at all, you've already seen the funny videos where Arnold Schwarzenegger's face is posted on Annie, or he's singing to the sound of music. You've seen this.
Right.
So imagine the people that have access to developing this software at its highest end, what they're already creating so that you can eventually, and I think this is the goal, eventually pay like subscription-based services, like you do an online video game, for example, or a Netflix account or a Hulu account, where you have access to drag and drop custom tailor. This is what they're going to try to make legal. And they'll do it under the same framework that you mentioned earlier, how this is not real life. So it can't be something that you should be able to sue us over. I mean, identity infringement now becomes a big part of this legal cluster. Okay.
Yeah.
But the idea that you can drag and drop custom tailor using any voice that you want. Somebody could make a David Heavener AI lookalike sim, program it with personality likes and dislikes just because they have an appetite to abuse you, David,
mm-hmm.
and force you into any kind of fantasy that their daydreams can't imagine. Mm-hmm. Imagine that bumper guardless, railless, seat beltless, ruleless, where the imagination leads, and anything that you can imagine becomes reality. See, now I'm not going to stick up for the porn industry, but I will say that what you've been limited to in previous generations is whatever humans could do with special effects or with video. And as you go down this progressive path of titillating your flesh, you're still limited and kind of bound to what somebody else has produced in their daydreams.
Mm-hmm.
Now the bumper rails come off. We're moving very quickly to a reality where people, David, that want to act out very specific forms of control, abuse dynamics on children, can drag and drop, tailor, custom make whatever they want. Now you have hyper-customized sadism. Like, I don't want to give people ideas. Right now, we still have laws. When you start to consider what is already possible from a software standpoint,
right,
and then you know that where our capabilities are, there's always people in black markets that are making it available. Think about it. The fact that child porn is illegal, has that really stopped the guy that is bent on acquisitioning child porn or acquiring it? Does this make sense?
Oh, yeah.
That's where I say my father, were he alive today, would be warning about AI. That would be the part that he would be screaming from the mountaintops. These are the dangers that are coming down the pike now. The software exists today, and it is going to start bubbling outside of just black markets. I promise you they're going to try to normalize this.
Oh, yeah, they will. Well, they started normalizing it with South Park, with Beavis and Butthead 30, 40 years ago, with Family Guy. If you watch these cartoons, there's so much sexual promiscuity in these cartoons. It's been slowly, okay. Now, I think I hear what you're saying. I agree, is that if you can bring people into the world of AI, which is not real stuff, but to them it's real, then eventually they need to act out on it with a real person. And it also desensitizes us to think that, well, I've already been through it in this AI program, so to do it for real now is not a big deal, because you've stepped over the threshold of God turning his back on, letting them go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They've gone too far. Now, Joe, I want to ask you about talking about your dad, Tom Horn. You know, he was very pivotal in Last Evangelist. I told you that. I gave him honorary executive producer credit in episode 1, 2, and 3, which is coming out in about a month. And the reason is because he was the guy that kept pushing me. Now, you know, a lot of people might call me a trailblazer, but your dad was blazing trails bigger than I was before I came along in this space. And he looked at me and he said, David, you have a book in you that needs to come out. I told him, I said, okay. So I sat and I wrote a book, which you guys published. I thank you. 2 books, actually. And it has blessed so many people. SRA victims will read it. They'll cry. They'll write me notes, letters. I've got so many. Okay. But here's my point. My point is, he pushed me to keep going, not to stay in my comfort zone. We as Christians cannot stay in a comfort zone, right? We've got to get out of our comfort zone and actually do something. I want to show you a scripture, which actually you brought up, but I want to bring this up. This is 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10. Now, you see, I've got a little Christmas package underneath there. The modern day church, Joe, wants us to think this scripture means we're just supposed to, you know, go feed the homeless or maybe treat, you know, people right and give them a gift, and nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
No, God's called you into using what you have to free the innocent, to expose the dark side. Am I correct in this assessment?
You are, David. My father and my mother, led by example as child advocates, A decade ago, they started breaking ground on a place called Whispering Ponies Ranch that now today serves children that have come out of trafficking. They've come out of forced prostitution. Many of these children are wards of the state. Mm-hmm. And because of ministries like Skywatch TV, people that underwrite via Skywatch TV, the Whispering Ponies Ranch, we're allowed to now, you know, hold these incredibly rehabilitation-focused, Christ-centered program camps for kids that fit very much the narrative that we're discussing today. Now, it took me a few years, David. It took me a few years to give God my yes. My parents were leading by example. I decided I didn't have the stomach to deal with some of this.
Right.
It was a tough subject. As a father of two at the time, I prayed. I said, God, thank you for sending Tom Dunn. Thank you for sending Opal Singleton. Thank you for sending Russ Dizdar. Thank you for sending people like David Ebner to talk about and to do the good work. I can't stomach it. I used my health. I mean, I can't. I just not. It's not healthy. It's not my calling, I said even. And God one day interrupted my whining because he was working on me. He was working on me. He interrupted my whining. I'm, Lord, thank you for sending, but I, you know, I just, it's not my thing. And he said, you know, Joe, for all of your disparaging, for all of your whining, for all of your sidestepping, this is a paraphrase of one of those downloads that you just get. It was as if he said, you know, for all of that, you're not doing anything for the victims of this massive, catastrophic, runaway series of victims. You're not doing anything. I said, okay, God. Yeah. I'm giving you my yes. I will give you my yes. And I went into this thinking, you know, that, and David, I'm being honest with you. I went into in roughly 2014, 2015, 2016, God's working on me. And around 2018, 2019, now I'm starting to get more obedient in his call for my life, which wasn't just as a TV host or a guy that happens to be a board certified holistic health practitioner or somebody that talks about a liver cleanse or a parasite detox.
Right.
He wants me to be very active. He wants me to do more than just pay lip service. You're going to be a child advocate. You're not going to just talk about it on radio. You're going to do things. And so now I've given him my yes. My parents have pioneered Whispering Ponies Ranch exists. And I had no idea when I gave God my yes that I would need those developmental years to step in when my father passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been very grateful that I said yes to God when I did, because infrastructurally now that ministry with just my mom to carry it would be very difficult for her to do. So I've been very thankful that I kind of learned the ropes and got in there as an activist, but, an advocate. But the children that we serve, David, they are a side effect of a multi-tentacled Luciferian war that we've been talking about for the last 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to ask me, what is one of the biggest underlying root cause for why these children end up missing from the foster care system? Why are they in the foster care system in the first place? What is it that is quickly eroding the nuclear family? I would tell you there again are many, many reasons. But if you had to say, Joe, what's your de facto go-to? I think you know where I'm going with this. It would be the porn industry.
Yeah.
Because of how it fuels the appetite for evil power dynamics. You said it a minute ago. Anytime, this is me paraphrasing, but anytime you seek to satisfy the flesh, there is no moment where you reach the end of the game and you're top level and you win the boss and now you're happy. Mm-hmm. There is no satiating an appetite for anything when the flesh is that pursuit. We read about this in 1 Corinthians 6:18. We read about this in Matthew 5:28, Corinthians 10:5. There is no pursuing that with any success. When you say, yes, God, I'm divorcing myself from your calling. I'm divorcing myself from your conviction. God says, leave Ephraim alone. He has joined his idols. Mm-hmm. There is a moment where God will call his Holy Spirit back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And now you have joined, you have made your bed, you have joined your Luciferian idols. And I think in particular, when you deal with the church right now, as we're doing this broadcast, every 10 seconds that we've been doing this show, somewhere in the United States, someone has made a phone call to report child abuse every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
If we wait just seven more, it will happen again.
Yeah.
Right now, David, 420,000 children are already in the foster care system. 420,000 this year right now are in the foster care system, 90% of them are statistically guaranteed to be abused in at least 2 to 5 different ways. Mm. 50% of these kids will never see loved ones again. Yeah. This is something we see at Whispering Ponies Ranch every year. Children that have never seen their siblings ever again from the time they were placed in the system. And David, you know this, but there are malevolent actors that have figured this out. Mm. The foster care system does not have enough help. They don't have enough funding. There aren't enough law enforcement agencies or benevolent wings of the government to hold them accountable. And they are taking advantage of these blind spots. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Thank you. And here's where I want to jump in on that. We can put a man on the moon. We can build spaceships to go to Mars. We can do all, look at the technology. We can't deal with our children with the foster care system. Joe, this is by design. I'm sorry, but it's by design. Just like illegal aliens coming over the border. Matter of fact, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole. I'll open this real quick. They did this because they needed more kids. They needed access to more. This wasn't about the adults coming over. They hid that within the missing children. You know, many of these children never have been found yet. And the beast wants to be fed with these children. I want to say something real quick to you.
Sure.
I'm not sure if you know, but my cousin over 30 years ago, Shanda Scher, was viciously murdered by a group of teenage girls.
Yes.
And I revealed it first on one of the shows your father produced, which was
Silent Cry, the darker side of trafficking.
And the first thing your dad said to me when we first met, he goes, "You're the reason I got shaken. You're the reason they shook me and they took me down." He said, "Because of that, it affected." In other words, it drove him out of his comfort zone to really look and see what was going on. And the reason I bring this up is that I was not going to do anything on Shanda for many years. She was my cousin, but her mother came to me and said, "David, would you do a show on this?" I refused. No. Well, let me tell you something. I decided to do it after I revealed it on your dad's video that was released. I went back and I started researching. It's in my book. And I researched the perpetrators, the killers. Do you know that most of those children were sexually abused as children? And it's a direct result, Joe, I believe, pornography, of the fathers being involved in porno. They take it into the home. They take it into their children.
I did not know that from personal research, but you and I have talked about that before.
Yeah.
And I watched it in the Silent Cry documentary, and my father was right. You were probably one of the main reasons why that movie got shadow banned and deplatformed. And they're, by the way, they're doing the same thing to Rescue Us, the 6-part television series that we put out last December. I've had people get away with vaccine talk sooner than they've been able to talk about this dilemma.
Yeah. And
like,
you can't
talk about these missing kids, David.
No.
And you're supposed to know better.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm demonetized. People take you down. No, they're not taking me down because they just want to, you know, it's one thing to take you down. It's the other thing just to beat you up to the point where, you know. But let me tell you something, Joe, what's going to be the next, people ask me, what's the next ban? What are they coming after? It's going to be AI. If you're not using AI the way they want you to use it, you're going to be gone, baby. You're going to be gone. Now, if you use it for Satan, if you use it for demonic purposes, oh, you'll see it all over the internet. You know, I want to show you an example. You know, I sent you the trailer of Last Evangelist episode 3. Do you know half of that was AI? It was not real. I was not real.
But that would very quickly, just to jump in, that would illustrate. Sorry, I heard something. Maybe you're getting ready to play something. But that would be an example, and I completely interrupted you, but I was affirming you. That would be an example of when I think AI can be used for good, much like the internet. And you're using it to produce kingdom work. And I know that that's a powder keg, and I know there are going to be people take issue with the fact that I've said that. But that's until God changes my feelings about it or my thinking about it right now, that's how I feel about it. Go ahead.
You are so right, because due to budget constraints, due to it's just me and a few other people, we have a small crew, I can tell stories with AI that will blow people out of the water. Cutting edge, Joe, what you and I are talking about, I can literally take our interview, turn it into an episode, have it out in 3 days. And now you tell me that can be used for God. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're doing. For instance, folks, this is just a still, but this was a live action. If you look, let's see, let me see if I got one here. Oh, no, that's not it. Well, let me just show you the ramifications of AI. If you look and you see here, the this is an AI generated of my face. Now, this is a video that a picture was taken of. So imagine this face right here as a video recreation of AI. And we took a picture of this video. Look at that, Joe. I mean, to me, that looks pretty close, don't you think?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, but that's AI. That is not me. That is not real. You stand in front of a green screen, you turn your head 1,000 different ways, you say the alphabet, you say a lot of words, and I'm looking at scenes that I wasn't even in. I'm looking at the editor going, man, I'm pretty good in that. He goes, that ain't you, dude. So here's the other thing too, and then we'll wrap this thing up because I want to get into human trafficking real quick, is that people like yourself, like me, that are kind of known amongst an audience, who's to say they can't recreate us one day? We wake up, you click on a mock of Skywatch of Joe Horn, and you're saying things that are totally supporting the Antichrist.
My dad wrote about that in his last book, Summoning the Demon, before he died, and he's been gone for 2 years. I mean, that's some of the first stuff that people imagine. We talked about this a couple of years ago, David, that's some of the first things that people can expect to see from AI is deep fakes and lookalikes and face swapping. But when you add to it the companion aspect that you can now have completely fluid, coherent conversations with AI, then you feel like, I mean, people can go look this up. There are people already using AI to reconnect with the death of loved ones.
Yeah.
They want to continue conversations with a deceased child because they are having a terrible time letting go. And, you know, of course, we're now not permitting humans to go through the natural processes of grieving when you try to construct missing loved ones. But this will be, in my view, become a very pop. Someday in a generation from now, David, somebody somewhere is going to be showing this soundbite of you and I, and they're going to be saying, David and Joe talked about this 10 years ago. And they're going to be side by siding it with people that are doing this in mass population. Because right now you're seeing the trickles, the little breadcrumbs. This is going to become broad sweeping mainstream. There will be websites. Yeah. Miss a loved one? Miss your father? Click here to visit right now. With just a couple of photograph uploads and a sample of his audio, you can now... Again, we're probably opening a giant lid of stuff now that we can't put back on in the time that we have left. And I know that you had said that you wanted to get to human trafficking.
Yeah.
But AI is moving very quickly, and it's a lot further advanced than most people even realize. And like you, using it for the preaching of the gospel, there are those on the other side that are using it for equally malevolent things, whether it's in broad daylight yet or not. And just looking at the stuff that we already know about, you know, companion AIs and what that's already doing to married people, men and women.
Yeah.
We are, Lucifer is trying to replace the human connection, the family construct, because if he can isolate us, we have no accountability. Mm. It's up to our imagination to titillate our flesh. There's no accountability. There's no checks and balances. I'm not accountable to a spouse. My son can go deal with his technology. He'll get input from the AI. Like, people are already farming the raising of their children out to cartoons because they don't want to deal with it.
They are. I've seen it, Joe. I've seen it myself where they've worked pornography into AI. I've had a glimpse of it because of my friends. Of course, I'm in the industry. And it shocked me enough for 3 seconds. I said, I want nothing to do with this. I don't even want to go there on this. So we're talking to Joe Horn on his new book, Innocence Shatters, War on Children. And folks, we have a war on children, but you know what? It's up to God's people. It's up to you and I. Don't look anywhere else. Look in the mirror. If not for you, if not for me, where are these kids going to go? So I want to, as we round the curve here, Joe, I want to talk about human trafficking. Episode 3 deals with missing kids and actually a underground government agency, not left, right. No, this is deep, deep, deep state. People don't see this government, but where they actually abducted children back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, where they came over from Germany and they brought doctors, the war criminal doctors from Germany, into the hospitals in the United States through the Red Cross passport, through the Vatican, took them to Central America and brought them to America. That's in the book also. Here's my point. My point is, do you believe that there's a cover-up in these missing kids? Meaning it goes deeper than just Joe wanting to buy, I'm sorry, you know, a John wanting to buy a child or, you know, whatever. This goes deep. This goes into experimentation. This goes into DNA, into blood. What say you on that?
I would say, David, that I have my own personal private thoughts that I would happily share with you on a telephone call. Yeah. Some of which I don't want a permanent record of because I am not able to provide the kind of evidence that would be persuasive to the mass population of people that are out there driving forklifts and running sandwich shops and would be introduced to Joe Horn's interpersonal thoughts on the answer to that question. And I'll give you an example, adrenochrome. I don't want to publicly state my feelings about that because, again, would I be able to produce a body of evidence persuasive enough? These are possibilities that I think a lot of people subscribe to based on anecdotal testimony, based on things you might be aware of. But what I try to do is stick with facts that anyone can simply go and look up. And that is what I will assert in public. Because if I stay factual, then I maintain credibility. Does that make sense? I want to be taken as seriously as a heart attack, and I don't want to give people ammunition to dismantle my ministry or loop a soundbite of me asserting something I wasn't able to back up. Does that make sense? So to answer your question without being dodgy, I do believe 1,000,000% that there are malevolent actors that are doing things with children that come up missing that most of the public wouldn't even accept if I were to describe it on a program like this. And I look at that because history shows what happens when people are given unmitigated power, rulers down through history, what happens when they are given infinite wealth, unmitigated power, no checks and balances, and no fear of the law. The hearts of many of those people become very evil.
Yeah.
So why would I doubt? Why would I doubt that there are missing children, a side effect of having been purchased for the most malevolent reasons on planet Earth? Here's what I will tell you that anyone can go and research that is a matter of public record. It is anywhere from 1 to 12 children a day, but the average is very close to 10 to 12 a day. Mm-hmm. When you look up the biggest aggregators of factual evidence, the people that follow human trafficking, and in particular those that follow the foster care system, it's anywhere from 1 to 12 children per day is the most accurate information that we have just from foster care of the children that come up missing every day. When people say, how can that be happening in the United States? Well, I offer in the book, Innocence Shattered, and also the television series Rescue Us, bits of information that explain factually and irrefutably that there are blind spots first in the foster care system. So then you're looking at law enforcement to somehow be the solution or the cure for those blind spots. And you realize they are also overburdened, understaffed, don't have the resources. Missing persons cases for children who die in foster care are scarce to non-existence. Mm-hmm. Many of these kids will be classified as a runaway, or they'll be blamed for a history of having run away. Nobody is looking for these kids. Groomers and traffickers are looking specifically at foster kids because they have a number of attributes that they're looking for. We're talking about kids that have experienced trauma, kids that have long colored histories with depression or suicidal thoughts. Right. These are the ones they use social media primarily to seduce over time. Many of these people will present themselves as sugar daddies. So if you're watching this program and you have children that show up with pedicures and manicures or brand new clothing that you didn't buy, and you ask them where they got it, and they describe, oh, it's none of your beeswax. It's a boyfriend that I've been seeing. Mm-hmm. How many kids in junior high have that kind of money or time during a school day to make that happen?
Yeah.
So one of the best things you can do is be very, very out front, very obvious, be very visible in the life of your child. Yeah. Keep them off social media where there are posts and pictures. Make sure it's you standing there. Telegraph to the world, these kids have defenders. These kids have engaged parents. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. You see, a lot of this stuff happens in schools. It happens in your next door neighbor. It happens in the neighborhood. A lot of this trafficking, it's not some, you know, foreign organization or whatever. So here's the loop on here. You've got a kid who comes from a dysfunctional family. We all come from a certain amount of dysfunction, but let's say the family's dysfunctional. Maybe the girl was sexually abused, physically abused. And I'm using a girl for an example. She grows up, she gets into school, she finds people, someone that gives her a little, some encouragement. Oh, you're pretty, you're beautiful. They suck her into this cycle of human trafficking. She gets sucked into it. Well, okay. It's a vicious cycle, because what does she do? If she's not cured, if things aren't solved, she's going to get married. She's going to have kids. And
that's
then
right.
Another cycle. This has been going on for 30, 40 years. And
yes.
We don't deal with that, Joe. We don't deal with, are people being healed of this once they've been in it? I'm talking spiritually, not just, you know, some type of therapy or whatever. Now, if you work AI into it, AI into the home, that's going to amplify it. It's going to be in the home. Kids will watch it. Parents will watch it. Now, young girls, again, using a girl analogy, she'll go out in there. She'll get caught up in the trafficking, the sexual misconduct. She'll have kids. It goes on and on. I want to give you the last word on this.
90% of the children that are in foster care right now, of the ones who have yet to either age out or become a missing persons case, 90% of them, David, are statistically guaranteed to experience at least 2 to 5 types of abuse, none of which I want to talk about in this program. Okay?
Yeah.
It's horrific. 70% of the girls, as you just correctly asserted, that finally age out and manage to survive that system are deeply traumatized, and they're almost statistically guaranteed to have children out of wedlock without support who are guaranteed to go where? Right back into the system.
Wow.
It is a vicious, you just called it a vicious loop. That is the vicious loop. 80% of the young men will become incarcerated, often also bearing children out through various surrogates and wives who then end up, this cycle goes forward and forward and forward. Many of these kids have been given no chance at life. They have no life skills. They have no capacity to hold down a day job, or they're stigmatized in communities where people don't want to give them a shot because they come from bad blood. I remember little Billy, he comes from bad stock. We're too busy having church to stop and slow down to help these kids. Right. So I don't mean to be obnoxious and facetious. No. It's just, you want to give me the last word, brother. You and I have been pinpricking this for an hour, and you can tell that any one of these questions could have gone into a direction that unpacked could have gone on for 3-4 hours just to unpack the shell pack. That's why I highly recommend, if anyone has watched this and they're stirred at all, please go to Amazon.com today and pick up a copy of Innocence Shattered. And not just to buy a book. I'm trying to get this to the national stage, and Amazon is the largest bookseller on the planet, and algorithmically it can help it rise to the national stage and be noticed by other platforms, et cetera, by pre-ordering. Pre-orders are a really big deal. Yeah. I myself have invested a lot into this book, so this is not about me making money. I'm going to have to recover a ton to even break even. This is a ministry effort. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. So you're following in the footsteps of your father and your mother, and I'm so glad. And a lot of times we don't want to. You know, I was drug into this space. Do you think I wanted to leave a multi-million-dollar income for Hollywood to do what I'm doing now? No. But Joe, listen, we never should ever stay in our comfort zone. We need to go another level up. And that's what I pray with this broadcast as we come to an end, that somebody somewhere has heard something that they're going to leave on a higher level in which they came in. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to add one fast thing, as I would be remiss if I didn't, David, the reward of standing in the gap for a child, because I've been talking for an hour about the difficulty behind it. The reward is grander than anything I've ever experienced in this life. To look into the eyes of a child that has been abused in ways that most rational people can't even explain, and to see when Jesus gets a hold of their heart and what he does to rebuild that human when other programs have completely failed. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's difficult, but the reward is beyond description.
Oh man, a great last word. I just want to tag on to it. God showed me a long time ago that I was assigned a child. I believe each and every person out there is assigned a child, the life of a child. If we actually take that up on ourselves and say, hey, it's my job to save this one child, this one lost sheep, we've done it. Joe, God bless you. I appreciate you being with me, brother, and sharing what you're doing. And I'm praying over this ministry, because you are in warfare when you deal
with
this. Thank you so much. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us, but we are going to go underground. Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate it. Okay, guys, listen, go with me underground. If I can talk Joe into going with me, he'll go with me underground. But otherwise, I just want you to understand that we are talking about this. Why? Because Jesus took a child, put that child on his knee, on his lap, and he said, suffer not the little children. Matter of fact, he had an analogy. It'd be better if you tied a stone around someone's neck and throw them in, anyone who hurts a child. And this is what we are dealing with. Now, if you want to help me, if you want to help me battle this, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please go to davidhebner.tv and sign up. We've got the Last Evangelist TV series on there. Different episodes. I have a tribute to Charlie Kirk. I've got my investigative channel, programming demonic powers, program multiples, alien, demon, UFOs, The Connection. I've got people like L.A. Marzulli, the late, great Russ Dizdar, and many, many others. And then I even have a Save Our Children channel, which you're going to see this interview on with Joe Horn, and as we talk about saving our children. So I just want you guys to understand this is why we do this, okay? And please, if you would, I would appreciate it. If you would like to be part of this ministry, you can go to davidhebner.tv/give, text the word CHOSEN to 91999, or call 844-806-0006. And don't forget about our film festival coming up November the 15th, 14th, and 15th. What you do with your gift is your gift, your talents, your gift from God. What you do with it is your gift back to God. All right. All right. I love you guys. Just remember, you never really lived till you found someone we're dying for. And that's Christ Jesus. Love you all.